Portage Health Foundation is proud to introduce you to Do Good Volunteer of the Month, Angie Van Tassel. Angie has made quite a mark in Michigan's Copper Country since moving here in the 1980s. She initiated a high school completion program for pregnant and parenting teens, started support groups for women with cancer, provided rides for Little Brothers Friends of the Elderly, and is a board member with UP Kids. She also helped build the new pickleball courts in Hancock. If you know an incredible volunteer like Angie, go to dogoodcc.org and nominate them to be recognized as the next Do Good in the Copper Country Volunteer of the Month.
Welcome to another Sunday morning, and welcome to another Copper Country Today. I'm Todd Van Dyke. Our program is brought to you by the Portage Health Foundation. Learn more about them at phfgive.org. The battle is joined, officially, I guess, at this point, between the city of Houghton and Walmart. There's a big tax kerfuffle that's going on. It's going to wind up in court, perhaps at several different levels. We're going to talk about that on the program this morning and a couple of other things with Houghton City Manager Eric Wara. Eric, welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning.
Let's start with a couple of the other things that we might want to touch on before we get to the elephant in the room here. First of all, it's getting towards spring, which means it's getting toward, theoretically, at least tear down time for the big parking deck.
Yeah.
I know that you've had some discussions going on with businesses and downtown property owners and such about how this is going to be handled for the construction and where parking is going to take place. Where are we on that process?
So one of the things, I guess, that we were fortunate enough because Houghton's a redevelopment-ready city with MEDC. So actually there's going to be we're calling it a resiliency team coming up in early April to meet with those deck-facing building owners to really look at issues and opportunities, because I think there are still a lot of opportunities there as well once the deck comes down. So,
sure.
So we're going to be starting to schedule those appointments next week with the team when they're going to be up here. And, parking... Between Houghton City Police, Parking Enforcement, us in administration, we've been meeting and kind of saying, okay, how is this parking going to flow during construction? And then what is it going to look like after everything's done? Because there's still going to be two big parking lots down there.
Sure.
There's going to be permits to park down there, and that it's just going to be a different walk than it is now. You won't be able to park right at your back door. You're going to have to park in a parking lot and walk to your building or your business. So we're rolling through. There's a lot of logistics, because really when you get down to it, with the parking deck, having that all these years, it presented the easy button in a lot of cases for parking in the city.
Well, it did. There was always room there.
There's always room, and it was if you had a parking need, well, send them to the deck. But what that also did over 40 years, pretty much, was it created a lot of underutilized or unutilized parking in the city in some cases.
Well, I know we found a lot of that in that study that was done
right.
Several years ago. It was determined that we really have a lot of parking spaces in the city, and we're not really going to miss much of what's being eliminated.
Well, everybody's going to miss it. I'm going to miss it to a certain extent, but I think we're going to miss the convenience the most. I mean, it was super convenient, yes, but, the past parking study, the one before it even, both came up with the same net result, that we have an overabundance of parking, which, a lot of people I've said, I've heard, there's not enough parking. No, there's not enough walking in some cases. People expect to park in front of the front door or at the back door, and that's not always going to be possible.
Do you know how many cities would love to have that problem? Too much parking.
Too much parking. Most would, and again, that's a study. But again, studies done by professionals, but then people have their own opinions as well, and they don't always agree with professionals.
Well, and of course, people's opinions are based on their personal circumstances.
Sure.
If your door is here and there are no parking spaces immediately next to your door here, then you think that there's no parking anyplace.
Right. Right. And so. The plan is to quit hitting that microphone. I'm sorry about that. But, the plan is to spread that parking out. And then we've also got to make adjustments to where people can park overnight. And we're going to, instead of grouping them all in one spot under the parking deck, which we do now, it's going to be spread out. We've got some covered parking that we can switch over to overnight use, and there's going to be exposed parking, and so we won't have those 100-140 spots, you know, under that deck overnight, but there'll still be covered parking, there'll still be surface parking out there for overnight.
I suppose this opens up a lot of potential, as you mentioned, for use of some of those storefronts on the lower level facing the portage.
Yes.
That's all been covered up by the parking deck and that lower Wacker Drive feeling.
Lower Wacker back alley feeling that that's had. Absolutely. That's where, you know, when the city resolved to go forward with this and resolved to bond for the cost of taking the deck down. I mean, this is on the taxpayers now.
Yeah.
But we were able to leverage that into another $1 million from the state to turn that Lakeshore Drive corridor. That's what it's called, Lakeshore Drive Corridor Redevelopment Project.
Yeah.
You look at that, what it could be and what it will be now going forward when this project is finished, it'll be a contributing part of our downtown instead of that place where, you know, people seem to think it's okay to just leave pallets leaning up against the buildings and it's dark and there's pigeons and it's actually going to be a contributing street now.
Yeah, I think it's going to look a whole lot nicer. I will say, while I'm concerned about some of those businesses that have relied on that parking deck, on a personal level, I will be happy to see some sunlight there.
Yeah, I think the sunlight will be nice. And again, that's where that resiliency team is going to come in and help people reimagine and plan for how can they take advantage of this. So that's really what that team's going to be up here to do.
So over the next few weeks, we'll start to hear more about this?
Yes, yes. The project is ready to go out to bids. The plans have been shipped to the printer, so to speak, electronically. And the advertisement, I think, is going to start tomorrow.
All right. So looking forward to some big changes downtown, for better or for worse.
It's been a long time, and you know, it just happens that this is, you know, here we are. Sooner or later, we had to face this.
Yes, it was not something that could be put off any longer.
Well, the last time we spent, you know, over $1.5 million on that deck, and that was just to get us through the next 10 years, and we're 8+ years into that phase.
Yeah, it didn't buy us much, you know, in retrospect, because. Yeah, it was supposed to give us 10 years, but it's been 3 or 4 years now since you've had to close parts of that deck off.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So, and those were things that we didn't have the money to address when we did those fixes at the time. So. And even some of those fixes would need to be fixed again.
Yeah, yeah. So this is, and you know, parking decks have finite life spans, and this one has actually gone probably a little bit beyond what was originally expected.
Well, it was interesting in doing some of the research on this and the original plans and that. This deck was it had a 30-year life in the funding application.
Yeah.
That was through June 30th, 2007.
Yeah.
And let that sink in.
Yeah.
2007.
15 years, going on 16
going
now.
Going on 16.
Since the people who designed it said that it would be out of date.
Yeah, the original intent was, and it's interesting because these types of parking decks, even, I think we talked about this years ago, even after this one, just after this one was built, they didn't recommend building them like this anymore. About 5 years after we built ours.
Yeah,
because
it was an experimental design, and it didn't quite work out.
They
the
don't
way,
last.
Especially here because of all the salt.
Yes, the salt and the weather extremes. Now, if this was in Phoenix, Arizona, it'd probably be a different matter. But you take the weather extremes and the salt here, and that's what kills these decks.
So we'll see those big changes coming up before too long. Talking with Houghton City Manager Eric Wara. Now let's get to the elephant in the room.
Okay.
The elephant in the room being Walmart and the dispute that's going on between the city and the Walmart Corporation over the taxation of their property. Explain basically what's happened here.
So in 2018, Walmart sued the city with the Michigan Tax Tribunal. And the suit was over the taxable valuation of that store. You know, my house has a taxable valuation. Your house has a taxable valuation. Yes. Walmart has a taxable valuation. There is, a loophole. I don't know if it's a loophole or how you term it. In Michigan law, this whole dark store thing that everybody talks about.
Yeah.
Which allows them, it's in the law, they can argue that their store, you know, that store, the lights are on all the time. It's a bustling place. Look at that parking lot anytime. That store is only worth, or comparatively worth, a store that's been shuttered and there's cobwebs and the windows are boarded up. That's so they're claiming their value is as if that store was closed and empty. And that's what the law allows them to argue. And it's unfortunate that even when, you know, when assessed fairly by other metrics, you know, around the state standard practices for assessing, that they can argue this and then we have to pay attorneys to go to Lansing and argue it for us.
Now, there have been some challenges through this. There were a couple over in the Marquette area a few years ago. How did those come out?
Oh, well, that's what's interesting about this. Our case is a little different than those ones. Because one of the things is you have the largest corporation on Earth, I think, arguably.
And the richest family.
And the richest family on Earth.
That controls it.
That controls this. Now, you have that set is been welcomed, that store, these types of stores have been welcomed into communities all over the place, whether it's Walmart or Menards or, you know, these large big box stores.
Yeah.
And they're welcomed into these small communities. So here you have the largest company with almost infinite resources to pay lawyers to go and against these small communities, to sue these small communities, us, Marquette Township, you know, Ironwood Township, out in Sault Ste. Marie, Escanaba, sue these small communities to save money on their taxes. So here you have, they got a bottomless pit of resources to pay attorneys, and you have a small community like Houghton, it's our turn. You have Houghton, we're already over $150,000 into fighting this for little old Houghton.
Yeah. Yeah, they have significantly more resources. And there is, in our case, which may make us a little bit different
and that's where
than
we differ.
Some others,
yep, I see where you're
there
going.
Is a contract.
There's a development
agreement.
Yes.
That was signed years ago that addressed this.
Well, it should.
In theory.
Logically, it addresses it. But that, for whatever reason, they can still take you to court. They're kind of ignoring that this development agreement exists because when... We're just like everywhere else. You know, there were infrastructure improvements that had to be made. There was wetland mitigation that had to be done. There's environmental ongoing, in perpetuity, environmental monitoring that the city took on so that store could expand. And at the time, you know, the previous city manager, he negotiated a development agreement with the corporation. And it said, City of Houghton, we are going to do these things for you. That I just mentioned, roads and utilities and wetland mitigation. We're going to do all of these things. And they said, okay, you're doing all of that to, you know, help this store expand and expand shopping opportunities and all that. We're going to agree that when this project is done, when the store is expanded, that it's going to increase the taxable value by about $1.9 million. So you take what the old store was valued at. Now there's a new store, add $1.9 million because they almost doubled the size of that store.
Yes.
So that should be your taxable value, right? And then, of course, it would increase by inflation year after year. Well, on the one hand, they're pretending that development agreement never existed. And that's so the valuation that they're suing for right now, what they've proposed, is actually what that store was valued at when it was built in 1993-94.
And just the original portion.
Just the original. I mean, it was a big store for here, but it was small for a Walmart.
Yeah.
But you know what? Michigan state law says if they want to take you to Michigan Tax Tribunal, they can. And if they have the resources to do it, throw, you know, a huge team of highly paid tax attorneys at it. Oh, by the way, it's argued in Lansing.
So we have to make long trips.
So, well, we're engaged with a legal firm that operates in that part of the state.
Yep.
So, you know, our team is down there. We talk to them three times a week. Some weeks it's been five times a week of late. But so that team is arguing that case for us down there. Now, that case hasn't gone to court yet because this original suit started in 2018. We all remember what happened in 2018 here.
Yeah.
So
we had a little water.
Yep. Well, right after they took us to court, right after they took us to court, we had the Father's Day flood.
Yeah.
Which, you know, for all intents and purposes, really damaged that whole business corridor up there. You know, you think of Sharon Avenue and
yeah, Walmart was fairly unscathed by it, I believe. Boy, you get down towards Taco Bell.
You got down the hill and it was further, ugly.
It was bad.
So they had agreed at the time to put it in what's called abeyance, which means they said, you know what, we're going to call a timeout. You guys fix your natural disaster that happened. So we had 2 years of abeyance because of the flood. And we did what we needed to do, and we got everything fixed pretty quick. And then it took a little longer to finalize everything. Well, then COVID hit.
Yeah.
COVID hit. They weren't doing a lot of court stuff during COVID. So it stayed in abeyance for a couple more years. Well, now we get to now. And we've done our recovery from the flood. COVID is still there, but it's not what it once was. They said, okay, no more timeout. We want to go to court. And oh, by the way, we're off the settlement, or the value that they're offering is, in my opinion, criminally low that they're offering. That's what they're suing for, is about what that store was worth 25 years ago.
And I'm assuming that they want, if they win this, and they get a reduction, they want that reduction retroactive to when they first filed.
And therein lies the rub as well, because since they started this in 2018, they want it retroactive to 2018. So what does that mean? Well, when the property taxes are collected on the Walmart store or on my house or your house, wherever you live, whoever collects those taxes doesn't keep them. They don't keep all of them.
No, you get some of it.
We get,
and you start writing checks.
Yes, I signed a bunch of checks just the other day. We signed checks to the Intermediate School District, the Houghton Portage Township Schools System, three different checks. We send a check to the Houghton County Veterans. We send a check to the county for Canal View. We send a check to the Portage Lake District Library.
Yeah, anybody who gets
a chunk of
that property tax,
yes,
millage, the added millage that we voted for technical education, for example.
Yeah, the CTE millage, or, you know, Canal View, which everybody still calls Houghton County Medical Care in some circles. But,
yeah,
you know, all of those, we pay that money out to them. Now, being they're asking for it retroactive, if you take the difference between what they're asking for as retroactive, you know, and you add that all up, that's over $1 million they're asking for.
If they get that, are we going to have to go back to Canal View and places like that and say, hey, you're going to have to write us a check back here?
Well, they got to write Walmart a check. It's not write us a check. I know what you mean. But yeah, that's the Houghton Portage Township Schools is going to have to write a check. City of Houghton, Canal View, Houghton County Veterans, Portage Lake District Library, all are going to have to write a check to pay that retroactive thing there if they win. And that's, again, that's over $1 million. And the thing that hurts about this is that money has been spent. That money has been reinvested in this community. That's operated our schools. That's operated our library. The city spent that money on paving roads up there by Walmart. You know, those services have already been rendered to the Houghton County Vets, the Canal View, care of their seniors.
It's not sitting in a bank account someplace over there because they thought, well, you know, maybe someday they'll want this back, so we better hold it for a while.
Right. That's you know, when people pay their taxes, you know, the best case scenario is those funds get reinvested in your community, into all those things that you're paying. Yeah. People say, why do I pay taxes? Well, that's what it gets reinvested. So Portage Lake District Library is going to have to find that money. Houghton is going to have to find that money. You look at our portion of it, that our payback's over $300,000. Well, we were planning to pave Razorback Drive this coming year because it needs it. It gets a lot of use there from M26 on in. We're going to repave that this year. Guess about how much money that's going to cost. That's going to cost just over $300,000 to repave that. If they win and we have to repay that, we don't have money to pave the road because we're going to have to take that money from money that would be coming in from taxes this year.
Yeah.
And budget that to send right back to Walmart.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you can create money from thin air.
Not the federal government.
No, and you can't it's not like there's an endless well of dollars down there that you can just pull this from. If this money goes out, it is going to detract from city services, school district services, other services.
Yes.
From those organizations.
It absolutely will.
That are dependent upon
and then,
this.
Then to add insult to injury, if they get that lowered valuation, everybody's cut, so to speak, of those taxes is going to be cut by 60%. So if they were sending the school a dollar, you know, if the school got a dollar off from Walmart's portion of the taxes, they're only going to get 40 cents now on a dollar going forward, because that's the judgment that's been made. If they win the case.
What are their chances of winning this case? Can you make that assessment at this point?
I think we have a really compelling case. We're gonna keep working with our attorneys and fighting hard on this. I putting odds to it, I don't know that I can put odds to it, because really what this boils down to is if you don't fight, then they'll just get it.
Yeah, they get it.
And that's the sinister part of this is you look at who do they sue in Michigan Tax Tribunal? Well, they sue the township of whoever there and the village. These townships, small villages, we don't have the resources to field a team of sharks out there to go to tax tribunal. So in some cases, you know, some of these townships have just rolled over and said, okay, I guess, and everybody in that community, everybody in that county suffers because of it.
And not everybody has financial resources to hire these attorneys
exactly.
In the first place.
And that's why
we're fortunate in the city of Houghton. You know,
this hurts.
It hurts. It hurts to do it, but at least there's some resources there.
We have been able to you know, put some resources into this because we know what will happen if we don't.
Now, we are countersuing based on this agreement that supposedly existed, that they signed.
Well, not supposedly. I can show it to you.
Okay, well, I'm a journalist. I have to be.
Okay. I'm not in the alleged category.
Yeah.
They have the
agreement. They have signed the
agreement.
It's
in the court documents that we sued them with. So what we did is we said, but what about this development agreement? This is what you agreed to. Remember when we did all those things for you,
yep.
And you agreed to do this for us. So we're countersuing in a different court, of course, because the Michigan Tax Tribunal does not adjudicate whether or not that development agreement exists, but there it is.
No, it's not technically a court. It's technically a tribunal.
It's a tribunal.
It's a slightly different thing.
Right. It's a slightly different thing. So in the Western District, that's in Marquette, we filed suit against Walmart Corporation for breach of that development agreement, because there it is right there. You can read it.
Yeah. So now if we win that and we win the tribunal thing, do we have any way that we can go after Walmart and say, hey, we're out hundreds of thousands of dollars on this, attorney's fees and city staff time and such?
Anybody can sue anybody in today's world. But, you know, honestly, that would be the win right there, just winning. Going back retroactive, you know, again, that'd be something I'd have to talk to the legal team about. And it may very well be the cost of doing business, unfortunately. But if we make that investment in the fight, we've saved those monies that we would have been out, whether we were paying back retroactive or we were looking at a 60% reduction.
Yeah.
In perpetuity.
In perpetuity. And until, you know, whatever. Real quick, as we wrap this up, the minute this hit, I started getting questions, and I'm sure you did too, mm-hmm. about what about Meijer? Aren't they going to build? What's stopping them? what do we know about Meijer?
What's stopping Meijer right now? When you really look at it, Meijer had an approved, you know, went through, they bought the property, prepared plans and specifications to build a store, you know, up on M26.
Yeah.
That site plan was approved by the Houghton City Planning Commission. Everything was going along. And of course, then we get into what happened the next year again.
COVID
hit.
And all of a sudden, retail's down the tubes. You can't get goods. You can't get building supplies. You can't find people to come work for you to build a store.
And even to the point where, look at the shopping experience.
Yeah. Much changed.
Very much changed. And I'm going to say my opinion is that Meyer is having to seriously rethink, you know, that sort of an investment, considering how the retail landscape has changed. I mean, how many people do you know that just pull into a parking spot, people drop groceries in their trunk, and they drive away? Well, that original Meyer store that was designed for Houghton was for that traditional shopping experience.
Yeah.
Where you went in the store, you got a cart, you were in there for an hour and a half, and you bought everything from sushi to a lamp to diapers.
Yeah.
And that's changed. You know, that's changed in our world. So I would, it's my opinion that they're having to seriously rethink, even if when they build a store, it's probably not going to be the same store that we approved, you know, a couple of years ago.
No, because
it's going to be different.
We use stores differently. And with that, I got to wrap this up. Yeah. Eric Wara, thank you so much for the insight, and keep us posted as to how this little adventure with Walmart goes on. Will you please?
It's been an adventure. It's been nice talking to you.